This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we head in hour two as we roll along on a Wednesday. And by the way, I love Wednesdays. I feel like we can talk about week one and then look ahead to week two. We're like in that middle zone, but we're still buzzing about what the Jets are going to do without Aaron Rodgers. Look,
it's the biggest story of the sports right now.
Be the biggest story of the year. I mean, I think at the end of the season.
I don't know, but I'm not going to say that.
But it could be.
It could be, though.
If we get a simple Eagles-Chiefs rematch in the Super Bowl, then Aaron Rodgers' injury becomes the biggest story of the year. If the Miami Dolphins win the Super Bowl, then it becomes a different angle. If Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars win the Super Bowl, that becomes a different story, right? Because then you're like, wow, this is kind of cool. But it could be. It's really, really amazing to process. It really is amazing to process that everything we talked about all summer long came down to 75 seconds or 90 seconds, however you want to look at it. Because I think it was 90 seconds of game time, but 75 seconds of real time. That's just, imagine if LeBron James was traded to the Knicks. And 90 seconds into game one, he was out with a torn something that kept you out for the rest of the NBA season.
It really is crazy.
I mean, everything, like Knicks fans losing their mind. LeBron James is coming. LeBron James is coming. This is great. LeBron James. And then the first game, he's like, and done. And out for the year. Right? Like out forever. Like out, he's not coming back in May for the playoffs. Not coming back for a potential finals run. Nope, all done. That's it. He'll be done. See you next year. Like, it's similar. It was like all, like, remember they're following flights that the Jets plane is taking. They're analyzing body language in the potential deal. It's insane. It was insane this past summer. By the way, I want to get back to it. Marty Lyons made a very good point about the turf.
The field, yeah.
He really made a good point. And I kind of liked it because it was pointing out, like, hey, look, we always talk about natural grass when it's nice.
Yeah.
Right? But we never talk about natural grass fields when it's a complete disaster.
You know, what it instantly reminded me of was just a few years ago, there was a game that was supposed to be held down in Mexico.
That's right.
Chiefs-Rams that had to be rescheduled. No, just not rescheduled, just relocated because of a Shakira concert.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. I mean, you imagine how hard it was raining Sunday night. And then they had like a shelter in place prior to the game.
That's right.
On Monday. Can you imagine what that field would have looked like?
You'd have an awful field. Beat up, torn up, torn to pieces field. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and again, his expert opinion as a former player, he didn't think Rodgers got hurt because of the turf.
No,
we've seen injuries. There's no question about it. I think Odell Beckham was hurt because of the turf.
Yeah, you and I talked about that yesterday where we were watching. It was like, you know, I think it was the way the Leonard Floyd. Yeah. Floyd Little is the guy who I was thinking of.
Floyd Little is the running back for the Denver Broncos from like the 60s, 60s and 70s.
That's not who I was thinking of.
No, they weren't thinking of him?
There was somebody else.
Maybe you should just play around on Google
and see how many NFL players named Floyd ever played.
Leonard Little? Little Floyd? Does any of these names ring a bell?
No.
In Ron's glossary of former NFL players?
It's a stupid, what's that game called?
Immaculate Grid.
Immaculate Grid.
Oh. You just got me on a tangent. Thank you.
Sorry.
I actually got an Immaculate Grid the other day.
And you didn't post it?
Okay. No. That's
the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Question. Should I have posted that? Now, I'm going to admit, I'm terrible at this. I'm not good at Immaculate Grid. But there was one they had which was a little different. Instead of the teams, they had accomplishments. They had some teams and then like accomplishments. And I got a rarity score of 30, which I thought was pretty good.
Is that?
They say it is kind of the lower the better. And I was like, all right, that's pretty good. And I was going to post it, but then I was like, should I post? Like, I got friends who post their stupid Wordle games every day.
Yeah.
On social still? Media. Yeah, still.
I mean, I know that was a thing, like, you know, last year.
It's like older people that I know. I got nothing else to do. Posting Wordle games.
Yeah, I figured.
But Immaculate Grid, I was like, wait a minute, this is. And then I didn't want to have to explain to people who didn't know what it was. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But I'm not. I play it like, I won't say every day, but I look at it almost every other day or so. And I go, nah, I'm out. And I'm one of those players when I play Immaculate Grid, if I get a wrong guess, I stop. I'm like, well, that's not good. That's, you know. It's like a good golfer when they make a double bogey on the first hole and they're like, I'm going back to the clubhouse. I'll start again. I just play Immaculate Grid and I'm like, all right, how about, let's see, Dusty Jones. Nope. Oh, okay. Done. Click out. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I should have posted it.
You should have.
I should have bragged that I did get an Immaculate Grid.
Yeah.
I don't think it was the hardest Immaculate Grid one they ever created, but. Still,
it doesn't matter because I see people posting Immaculate Grids all the time, and I'm just looking like, okay,
yeah, show off,
yeah,
that's what people,
nerd,
yeah. Oh, I'm still dealing from the fallout of posting the Steelers had the worst gap loss prior to Sunday night. People still reminding me that the Giants lost 40-0. I'm like, yeah, I know, I get it. But thanks to Marty Lyons for coming and joining us. And listen, he made a point also that we made earlier, which is, what role does Aaron Rodgers have now?
Yeah.
And he said, look, I hope he's around. I hope he's on the sidelines.
He's
got to
be.
He can't dress, so you don't want him to dress. That's not happening. But in street clothes, could he be walking around the sidelines telling Garrett Wilson, great job, pumping Zach up?
Achilles tendon. I don't know. Do you have to have surgery, or does it heal on its own?
I'm assuming he has surgery. Yeah, but
so you know. I mean, maybe he misses a game or two. Like,
sure,
you have the surgery immediately, and you know it's like kind of hard for him to hold on. But I would think it would be a bad look if he never showed up.
I think he needs to be a part of the team. I think that Marty was right, that you saw it how in practice. He was really on and focused on everybody that was on the team. He went to the receivers. He went to the runners, running backs. He went to the offensive line. He discussed things with them. He talked to them in a way that was like, this is a guy you really need to pay attention to. And he was trying to make everybody better and on the same page. And I think he can still do that. Look, he's not going to turn Zach Wilson into Trevor Lawrence here. That's not going to happen. But at the same time, if you can get good enough quarterback play, there is a team here that is capable of winning football games. There's nobody is denying that this is not a well-built football team around that position, but it would be foolish to think in an AFC that has Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Herbert, Lawrence, the idea that you don't need good quarterback play or great quarterback play in the AFC and you could still win that conference. That's insane, too. The defense is going to win them games. The running backs are going to win them games. They're going to be, if they can run the ball, they're going to win some shootouts. Some low-scoring games. They're going to find ways to win games where they're going to utilize things around the quarterback, not the quarterback, but you need the quarterback all the time. It's the sun, you know, he's the thing the whole offense orbits around. So, that being said, okay, you're not going to get Aaron Rodgers. How do you make Zach Wilson better? Right? How do you make... Look, Josh Allen. I was critical of Josh Allen yesterday. I was critical of him this morning. But the reality of it is that he's still a solid quarterback in this league, and he could overcome some of these turnoveritis that he has. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is overreacting to Joe Burrow. Right? He's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Mahomes? Are you kidding me, please? Patrick Mahomes is going to be great. So they lose to the Lions without Travis Kelce. They'll figure it out. You're not going to win the Super Bowl with Zach Wilson, but you can win enough games to make the playoffs and then see what happens. See what happens. I mean, they were 7-10 and they were basically good quarterback play away from having a winning record. So if they can get Wilson to play a little bit better, or they bring in a complimentary backup, solid backup, veteran backup who may have to take over for the team at some point. But if Rodgers is around, and I hope he is, I hope he is, because I, you know, that story that's went around that he, who'd he tell? Garrett Wilson, sorry kid? Or was it Zach Wilson, sorry kid? We told one of the Wilsons, sorry kid. It was a weird thing to say, but it's, you know, it's what, that's what happens. So I just, it's so, if this had happened to the Steelers, no one would care, right? If this had happened in New England, no one would care.
Yeah.
If this had happened to any other team that's kind of like, we don't, you know, we need a quarterback. Yeah, maybe Kenny Pickett's not that good. Maybe Mac Jones not that good. Let's trade for Aaron Rodgers. But the Jets, for the love of Pete, I mean, 50 years of just absolutely everything not going their way. It's crazy. It's insane. So, but again, the NFL, I think the NFL has to figure out some of these primetime games. I can't.
Got to flex.
I mean, seriously.
But they're in games that they can't, because they only flex Sunday night, right?
They only flex Sunday night. Monday night games are locked. They're trying to flex Monday nights. I know we did a story on that where they're trying to put something together where they could flex a Monday night game, but they'd have to do it way in advance, right? They would have to go, look, because people do travel for these things.
Well, not only that, but I mean, it makes it a little tougher, because then you're giving a team a short week.
Right, right, right. And you can't do it immediately. Like if you're the league, you want to be able to flex out a Sunday, because that's easy. You're just playing a few hours later, or you're playing a few hours earlier now. That's easy. But to switch dates, that's messy. That gets messy. All right, we'll continue. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next as we roll along on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Glad you'd be with us on Wednesday.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb here on your Wednesday. Glad you could be with us again on Sports Map Radio. All right, let's get the good of the day.
The good of the day. You know, I could have easily said, you know what, wait, we haven't talked soccer in a little bit. USA played yesterday.
They did. That's right.
They beat Oman, but you know what? Game was boring. I didn't watch it, and they should beat Oman 4-0. So instead, I'm going to focus my good of the day on the Sphere in Las Vegas.
That thing is amazing.
I learned something yesterday, and I did not know this. That, you know, we've seen pictures of the Sphere outside where it's, you know, it's just an incredible feat. Did you know it's a full working theater on the inside?
No, I did not. So inside that thing is a theater?
Is a theater.
That's pretty fantastic.
And not only is it a theater, Tony, it is the largest screen in the world.
Oh, no.
So if you can picture, I'm going to say 60% of that sphere, like from floor all the way to directly above you, and all the way to like 180-degree peripheral, is just one gigantic screen.
Okay, now I'm going to Vegas. I got to check this thing out.
There's a video. There's a little clip online that you can look at where it's a video from the I think his director or producer of The Life of Pi. You remember that movie where
he's on the boat?
He's on a boat
with the tiger.
So this movie is kind of like a nature documentary that starts in Antarctica, spans 15 different countries. They just show one little scene where the elephant comes on the screen. I mean, the elephant's like, you know, 100 feet tall.
That's awesome.
It's going to, and there's 100, I think, what does it say, 167 speakers? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was wrong. I was off just a little bit. 167,000 speakers.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild. That's wild. That thing, I see pictures of
the outside.
Basketball,
yeah.
Tennis ball, like eyeball, globe.
The eyeball freaks me out. I'm
the
not
eyeball
a fan
does
of that
freak
one.
Me out. I wonder how much of a distraction is that for drivers.
Yeah.
Like when they're just like, what? Look at that. That thing is really incredible.
But now you know it's a full-on working theater on the inside.
Right. I know some of you guys won't do this, but I'm urging you in November, on a particular Saturday night, watch the Las Vegas Grand Prix you will see that and a bunch of other like lights festivals that are going on.
Because they're doing it at night,
right? It's at midnight. Yeah, it starts at midnight East Coast, I believe, Eastern time. It starts at Minnesota 9 o'clock. Yeah, but it's at night. It might be midnight there. I haven't checked the actual start time locally for
well,
that
if it's
race.
Midnight,
but it is
there,
going to be late.
Yeah, if it's midnight there,
I think it's going to be.
I think it's +8, so it'd be like 8 in the morning.
But it's
in
going
Europe?
To. It's going to. Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, who cares? The Europeans complain that we get when we have these races. They got to. I have to. I get up at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
For a race in.
Yeah, but this one's in the
Turkey.
Middle of the afternoon, Tony.
Right, they can't.
It's
possibly.
It's during tea time.
Yes. It is at the race actually will start midnight Central Time, 1 a.m. Eastern.
Okay.
So that's 10 o'clock Vegas time. Watch it to watch. Just see. Just, who cares about the race? Watch the festivals of
lights. Yeah, no, I think it'll be
it's
fun.
It's going to be fantastic.
And
that
you know,
thing I'll, especially is going to
be. I'm
going to be
looking
backdrop.
At the sphere. I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder what crazy thing can they cook up?
I loved when I lived in Vegas. The thing I loved was the kind of wackiness. We didn't get this kind of I lived in the '90s, so late '90s, so it wasn't this technologically advanced. But like I can remember the Luxor Hotel. They had a big sticker on the hotel with it that looked like an asteroid had gone through it, like straight through it, and it was to promote Armageddon, that movie, and it looked fantastic. It looked real. It was great. Like little things like that. I saw like 6 hotels go up in my time in Vegas. And I went to 3 grand opening parties when I lived out there. I went to the Mandalay Bay, I went to Paris, and I went to Venetian. So I got media passes to go to those things, which is nothing more than food and a bunch of people shaking each other's hands, congratulating them on building a casino. Did you know we met Wayne Newton? Did I ever tell you that story?
I think he did, yeah.
Wayne Newton is performing tonight here in Nashville at the Ryman. Excuse me. At the Ryman. And we met Wayne Newton. My wife and I met Wayne Newton at a golf tournament dinner. And I was there for media, just going to interview some celebrities. And I interviewed Wayne Newton, and he kissed my wife's hand. And he was really, really nice.
And she's never washed it
I
since.
Know. We still talk about it. Like, Wayne Newton, Mr. Las Vegas. He was very, very cool. Like more cool than he should have been. Like, he asked us about us, like, where we were from. Like, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You're the celebrity. I'm asking you questions. You don't have to get to know us. Like, he was genuinely nice. Asked us if we had seen his show. We did.
You know, he's a gentleman.
Yeah, he was very gentleman. Very gentleman. He knew how to work the room, if you will. So yeah, that sphere is fantastic. It's great. It's great. I just don't know. Like to me, it's amazing how they do that with the pictures. It's not just throwing a picture up. Like it's got to. You have to have. I'm assuming you have to have a picture that's in a certain format. In order to get each screen to take a portion of it. Remember when you were a kid? I know I'm going long on this. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Remember when you were a kid and I don't know if you did this in art class, but I think most kids did, where they would take like a Van Gogh and then they would break it into sections and then you were responsible for drawing or coloring in a section. And then the goal was put all the sections together and let's see how close we are to the Van Gogh. Did you ever do that?
No.
Okay. Maybe we just did. But basically the art class was like, you just do this section. So here's your piece. Make it look like this. And you would make it look like that. And then you would put it all together. So that's what I'm thinking. When they go, hey, we're going to put up a tennis ball would be easy. But if we're going to do the globe, we have to make sure that this picture of the globe is in some format so that every single screen gets its piece of the picture. So that it all comes together and looks like a globe.
I don't get it. I mean, when you see them do that too, they'll put up like different panels.
Yeah.
And I look at each panel as like an individual TV screen, but it's not. They're all connected together.
It's crazy.
This and you know when you I sent you the video by the way, so if you check your email, you'll see the link for it.
The
elephant. Like, because it's really it's just mind blowing. Like how gigantic this thing is. I mean, it's got to be a must see attraction on everyone's list now as they go to Vegas.
I think so too.
Like I remember when the Stratosphere first opened up, you know, years and years and years ago. It was very, it was like almost a thing, like you have to go to the top of the stratosphere. You have to ride that roller coaster.
You have to ride the, yeah, you have to ride that, yeah. Shot straight up, yeah, and the roller
thing,
coaster.
The thing up and down, you know, because you know, it's the highest roller coaster in the world, and it's crazy to think, and blah, 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 blah. This one, though, is like, okay, you're really tapping. This is something that everyone is willing to do, and everyone's going to want to do. I mean, it's like being inside of a planetarium, except, you know, bigger.
I'm going to this. I'm just watching the video now. I'm going to this.
You see, I mean,
I got to go see this.
And the thing that I don't even know how they do it or where they're positioned, but 167,000 speakers. I mean,
that's
how
crazy.
How big is this room?
How much ear damage could you do to somebody if you cranked it to 11?
And as one reader or as one somebody pointed out, I was like, I can't wait to see a concert there.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a concert like, you know, they're performing on the stage, but, you know, the video screen shows them?
That's nuts.
That would be the best day possible. I don't know. Yeah. You might go deaf. I think you're right. Earplugs might be a thing to bring.
By the way, the Stratosphere has a ride where if you get on a roller coaster car, and then it tilts, and then it falls off the edge, but it stops at the last thing.
That sounds something like I'm going to sign up to do.
Yeah, exactly. No, thank you.
Yeah.
There's another ride that will go over the edge and spin you around while you're hovering over. No, yeah. Thanks. No,
do they
I'm
have
done.
A do they have an underwear shop there?
Yeah, right.
Why is it?
Why is it that and we're not the only ones. I know some of you out there are older and you're daredevils. I get it. But why is it that when you get older, you go, nope, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm done. Like when you're a kid, you're like, oh yeah, I'll free fall down. I love it.
I was all on board for bungee jumping. I was all
everything,
on board.
Every dangerous thing you sign up for.
Honestly, there's still a part of me. If it wasn't that, you know, I think I might be a little heavier than I was when I first thought about it. There's still a part of me though that would want to skydive.
Oh no, I'm with you.
Tandem,
with you.
But I'm afraid that you know. The guy would be like, you know, you're dragging me down, bud.
Yeah, I'm just going to get click. It's either you or me, and it ain't going to be you, me.
Yep.
Click.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, right. But I'm with you. I go to these amusement parks, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing the.
Yeah.
I'm not doing the drops. I'm not.
I try to talk it out of it. Like my oldest always asks me, he's like, hey, let's go do this roller coaster. It's like seven loops. I'm like, do we have to?
I've gotten off like wooden roller coasters with a headache that wouldn't go away the whole day.
Right.
Like my brain was rattled in my skull off of some of these roller coasters where I'm like, I was miserable the whole day. Bad and the Dumb coming up next. See, the Las Vegas Sphere, you did a whole segment, man. It's crazy. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb. God, I was just going through this Las Vegas Sphere. I'm amazed. This is amazing.
It's got to be on everyone's bucket list now.
Yeah, you should. You should go see it. All right, let's get the bad of the day. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is an interesting stat that has not occurred yet. Okay?
All right, but it could. It could. Okay.
There, not one quarterback ever has lost to all 32 teams.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
Right.
But Derek Carr has that opportunity.
Okay, so this weekend when they play
the Panthers. He right now has lost to 30 of 32 teams.
Okay.
He has not lost to the Panthers ever, but he'll get two opportunities this year. Now, unfortunately, obviously, the other team he has never lost to is the Raiders.
Right, he hasn't played the Raiders yet.
But assuming he's still with the Saints, he will get that opportunity next year because the Saints host the Raiders.
Okay, this is an interesting stat, and I hear me out on this because I'm trying to figure out why this hasn't happened. So let me dissect this a little bit. One, if you're losing to a lot of teams, the teams you kind of consistently play over the years,
yeah,
it's very unlikely that you're lasting in the league long enough
right.
to go through the cycle of playing the teams you play every 4 years. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's one thing to say, well, yeah, Tom Brady eventually did lose to all three teams in the AFC East. Okay, yeah, he gets two games a year.
Yeah, that's fine. He is not on the list, though.
Oh, no.
I do have the list.
I think he's beaten every team in the NFL.
Yeah, I do have a list of all the quarterbacks who have lost to 30 teams.
Okay, give me a couple of those names.
Drew Bledsoe.
Okay, that makes a little sense because he not only he lasted long enough and then he went to another conference.
Yeah. Brett Favre.
Same deal. Lasted long enough.
No, you'll see a pattern with all these. Drew Brees.
Gotcha.
Hasselbeck, Kitna, Palmer, Smith, Ryan.
Okay, so these are guys that played in another conference.
Right.
That's the key.
You got to play in another conference and you got to have longevity in your career.
Because again, if you're seeing the AFC North once every 4 years, you're probably beating a couple of those teams, and then you got to wait 4 years to play them
chance again. Right.
And then if you beat them again, that's 8 years. And if you stink at playing quarterback, that you're losing to everybody in the league, you're not likely to last 8 years. But here's the other thing: could you have longevity? Like we just brought up Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was there long enough to lose. Because you can't win all the time, but you're good enough to keep your job. So you're good enough to stay. Like Brees, yeah, they're good quarterbacks.
I mean, everyone I listed, they weren't terrible. I mean, maybe Matt Hasselbeck and John Kitna, you know, a little fringy right there. But everyone else, I mean, Alex Smith, Carson Palmer.
Right.
These were all really good quarterbacks that did play both AFC and
NFC. Did you mention Marcus Mariota?
No.
No, he's not on that list. See, there's a perfect example. There's a guy that played in two conferences, but he's not been in the league long enough to get multiple opportunities where you could lose to an opponent.
And how often did he play for the Falcons?
Right. Very, very short. Very tiny.
Is he still on the team, by the way?
No. He is.
Yeah, I thought so.
He is somewhere else. He is on his fourth team because before the Falcons, he was on the Raiders, right? He played for the Raiders. Like his backup to Derek Carr.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Because he went from Tennessee to the Raiders, then the Falcons, and I think he's still in the league, but I can't remember where he's landed.
Oh, I'm checking it. So.
Oh, there you go.
He's with, okay.
Where is he? He's with the Eagles. Yeah, okay. Well done.
Yeah. They win a Super Bowl.
He's going to get a ring like Jim McMahon got a ring. Remember Jim McMahon got a second ring with the Green Bay Packers and nobody remembers that?
So you think the Eagles are going to win?
Yeah, like the Eagles could win the Super Bowl and Marcus Mariota ends up with a ring where you go, how did he get? Because that's the thing with Jim McMahon. People go, Jim McMahon is a two-time Super Bowl champion. And then people go, no, the Bears only won one Super Bowl in the 80s. I was there. I remember it. And you go, no. He was on the Packers team when Brett Favre beat the Patriots. He was the backup. And you go, really? And you go, yeah, he was. I had no idea. Same thing here. Marcus Mariota is going to get introduced as a Super Bowl champion.
Someday,
and you're gonna go, how? He didn't win with the Titans. He didn't win with he was Jalen Hurts's backup or third string or whatever he is with the Eagles. And that's how he got his ring. That's how that'd be great. So by the way, kids, in your immaculate grid games in the future, if it says Super Bowl champion Eagles, don't do Jalen Hurts, that's everybody's guess. Don't do Nick Foles. That'll be everybody's guess. If Marcus Mariota is on the team and they win this year, use Marcus Mariota. It'll be like 0.02% of the people. In fact, you might be the only one.
Just give credit to Wake Up Call.
Yeah, and give credit. And same thing with Packers and Super Bowl champion. Yeah, it's easy. Bart Starr.
Yep.
Brett Favre. Yeah, exactly. I get it. Aaron Rodgers. Who's the MVP? Of Super Bowl 32. I think it was Desmond Howard.
Yeah, I think
so. Super Bowl. One of the. No. Jim McMahon. He was Jim McMahon.
Yep.
It'll work for you. All right. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. Hold on. I had it here, but it's off my page. The dumb of the day is. This was funny. The dumb of the day goes to all the patrons of Jack's American Pub.
Okay. I was going to bring this up and I did it because I knew you would. This is great. This is a great story.
We brought up this story last week.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't remember, this is what the stipulation was. Jack American's Pub was going to pay your bar tab if Aaron Rodgers started a game and the Jets lost.
Yep.
They would pay your bar tab.
So come on down and have some fun and root for the Jets to lose.
Right. And so what happened was Aaron Rodgers started Monday night. And never, there's nothing in the rules about he had to finish the game.
Nope.
Just that he had to be the starter. He started the game. He goes down in the first four plays. People started going, it's in the hole. It's in the bag. And just started ordering drink after drink after and everything. Only to have it backfire on them. I think this is the greatest promotion ever.
Well done. Well done.
Like, for the owners of Jack American Pub, they probably sat back that day and went like, wow. You know, first of all, that got us national attention twice.
Can you imagine going home and explaining to your wife what just happened and having any sympathy at all?
It's like, how'd you rack up a $200 bill at Jack American's pub?
I got something to tell you, but it's not my fault, okay? It's not my fault. Okay, so you know me and the guys went down to Jack's, and we were watching Monday Night Football, right? You said it was okay, right? And you know they have that promotion that if Aaron Rodgers starts and they lose, you get free drinks, right? Okay, he got hurt, honey. He got hurt. And so we bought shots and beers all night long. You'd do the same thing with your girlfriends, right? I mean, you would. And then out of nowhere, an undrafted rookie returned a punt in overtime. And yeah, Christmas is canceled. You're not going anywhere. She's not going to budge.
No.
Oh, yeah, okay. So Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and you thought you were getting free. Oh, no, I get it. No, that's okay. Kids' college fund is down the drain, but I get it. You, Ted and Sam were all consuming shots and expensive beers all night long, thinking you wouldn't have to pay for it. No, that's fine. That's fine, honey. You're all right. Yeah, good luck. How amazing was that room when Gibson returned? Because here's the other thing. If you're a smart football fan and you're hoping for the Jets to lose, it wasn't so much Gibson running it in for a touchdown. Remember, because the Bills had possession, the Jets could win it with a field goal. So they were going down the field. He was in field goal range. You must have been like, uh-oh.
Well,
the waitresses all passing out checks all to everybody.
That's what I love.
Here you go.
The reporter on scene did post to Twitter. He goes, so we were live on the air at Jack's when the Jets won, and everyone realized they weren't drinking for free after all.
Unbelievable.
Because, I mean, you know, and it's, you know, I guess there was another video floating around there. They were all, I mean, they were probably, well, I'm not going to say the only ones, but they were cheering when Rodgers went down.
Yeah, exactly.
And then cheering when they heard that he's not coming back, that he's out for the game, because it's in the back. You're talking about the Jets now having to rely on Zach Wilson playing against the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
That's easy money.
That's right.
Free drinks for everybody.
That's right. And by the way, here's the other cool thing. Because Rodgers is done for the year, this promo's over.
It's over.
Done.
Twice the greatest promo ever.
We did one game, and we made out like bandits. all those servers printing out checks, handing them out. It must have been great.
Sweet, great. Sweet music.
And I'll take this up when you're ready. I'm figuring it out. Well done. Well done. We'll continue. Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, as we continue, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. So, college football this weekend. We said it yesterday. Deion Sanders in Colorado getting a night game against Colorado State, and the national media is just going to descend on Boulder. And because Deion is a marketable, sellable entity in college sports right now, he is the most exciting coach by far. He is the
not
coach
even a contest.
That no, it like Kirby Smart Jim Harbaugh when he returns. Mike Norvell. I'm just going down like the list of the AP Top 25. Steve Sarkisian, Lincoln Riley, Ryan Day, James Franklin. Like, none of these guys are move a needle like Dion. Dion moves a needle. Like, it's he's fun, he's exciting, he says cool stuff. Sometimes he says controversial stuff. But his son now is a legit Heisman Trophy candidate. He's got odds now. Vegas books are putting odds on Shador Sanders to win. That's Caleb Williams right now. He's got 12 touchdown passes for the 3-0 USC Trojans, but Shador Sanders is up there. How long before Travis Hunter is on that list as a two-way player? We haven't had a two-way player. The last two-way player, they say the last Heisman Trophy winner that won it both ways. You could make the case of Charles Woodson because he won the Heisman Trophy over Peyton Manning. But a lot of people point out he won it. He was the defensive player, but he also did some special teams. But that's not what we're talking about with Travis Hunter. We're talking like Gordy Lockbaum from Holy Cross. Like Gordy Lockbaum in the 80s played both ways and was at one point getting Heisman votes because of that fact alone. You don't see players go both ways in college football. You don't see him play offense and defense. And as much as Travis Hunter is playing offense and defense, it's one thing if you send your wide receiver out as a corner because he played it and he's not bad at it, and you throw him out there for a couple of plays. That's not what Travis Hunter does. Travis Hunter legitimately plays defense, and then he legitimately plays offense. And now he's in the running for the Heisman Trophy. But the SEC is kicking up some games this weekend. We're getting close to full-blown conference play now. Like we're getting closer and closer. We're still not quite there yet. But, like, Florida State's playing Boston College. That's an ACC game. Penn State's playing Illinois. That's a Big Ten game. LSU and Mississippi State are playing. Florida and Tennessee are playing. South Carolina's playing Georgia. Oh, by the way, just a reminder, South Carolina's the last team to beat Georgia at Georgia. It's a 2019. I know it feels like an eternity, but to those of us, you know, we cherish it. It was a double overtime win. That's the last team to beat Georgia at Georgia. But, you know, like, Alabama's playing South Florida. Okay. Right? San Diego State and Oregon State. By the way, the Beavers are ranked. DJ Uiagalelei's got Oregon State ranked at 2-0. Good for them. But when we get really deeper into conference play, that's when it's going to start. This game between Colorado and Colorado State, this is what I fear, okay? The national media is coming in in Colorado, to Boulder. And again, I like what Deion Sanders has done to that school. After seeing it for 20 years, do absolutely nothing, no impact all in the on the college landscape, for a big university in a near a city like Denver, for that school to have been irrelevant for two decades is inexcusable. It's a beautiful campus. It should have been one of the top recruiting tools that it uses. And Deion Sanders has to show up with his Louis Vuitton luggage, and now everybody's paying attention to them. Yeah, that's how the game is played. You bring in a coach, he brings in players. That's how it works. But they're going to romp Colorado State. They're going to kill them. Romp them. And the more national focus is going to be on that particular game, because you've got both of those, both college football media giants are going to be broadcasting from that game. That's going to build up the hype even more. Colorado is going to Oregon, and then they are going to, they're going to play USC in Boulder. So the Buffaloes have got two big games coming up that are within the Pac-12 that are going to be massive, massive tests for them. The real season for them is going to be next weekend when they go to Eugene to play Oregon. And even more at the end of the month when they're home in Boulder to take on Caleb Williams and USC. Okay? Those are going to be the two benchmark games. Now, they got Arizona State, Stanford, UCLA, Oregon State. Those will be a couple of those will be tough. Some of them won't be tough. But I'm almost worried that the hype train, after they wallop Colorado State, will be so out of control that it won't really put into perspective what kind of task it's going to be to go to Oregon and play at Autzen Stadium. Now, I think Shador Sanders is an NFL quarterback. I think most people think he's an NFL-level quarterback. And I know his weapons around him are fantastic. It's the best Colorado has ever seen. And some of these players are going to be big-time first-team Pac-12 people, right? And Travis Hunter is going to be a first-team Pac-12 player. But they've got fast players on offense. They've got guys who can get open in space, whatnot. It's just going to be tough. Is it going to be a different conversation about Colorado if they lose to Oregon and they lose to USC and they're 3-2? Well, it depends on how you view Deion Sanders' first year in going to Boulder. Let's be honest. TCU was this is why preseason rankings are marketing tools, kids. TCU was not the 17th ranked team in the country. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. It's not a crime. It's getting you hyped up for games with a team that's pretty decent on paper. 17, 15, 16, who cares? Colorado can show you things offensively. Shador Sanders, for example, the way he throws the football. Travis Hunter, all that. But their defense needs a little bit of work. If they get rolled by Oregon and USC, you watch how quickly people are going to turn on Deion. You watch, because it's going to happen. The same people that are like, Coach Prime, will say, yeah, but he now got a taste of what the Pac-12 really is. Think about that for a second. A guy getting into a program right away, took over a one-win football team. He brought some of the best players that he could, and people are going to say, oh, yeah, whatever. If they lose to a team like Oregon that has been good every year forever, USC that's been good almost every year forever, that's how quickly this is going to change. So, I'm just a little worried. Again, I like Colorado a lot. I always have a special place in my heart for Colorado. But they're going to win Saturday night so badly that it is going to be, this is one of the best teams in college football. They might win a national championship.
Is that a fear? Like of, I guess, like false advertising?
Right. That's where I'm kind of leaning towards.
Yeah.
Like they beat TCU. Great. It was a shootout. They won the shootout.
Yep.
But they beat a bad Nebraska team. Not a bad Nebraska team. A Nebraska team with a bad quarterback. That's a better way to put it.
Well, a Nebraska team that's building. I mean, Matt Rhule hasn't been there that long. He hasn't really put his finger.
He's been there 1 year.
Yeah.
Same thing as Deion. And he didn't bring Louie with him.
No.
He brought Jeff Sims from Georgia Tech, who can't hold on to the football.
Brought corn cobs.
Right. So Matt Rhule is building a program. So I'm not gonna lose my mind over Colorado beating Nebraska at home. But let me tell you right now, when they're done with Colorado State, you're gonna hear about, all right, Here they go to Oregon. Watch out, Bo Nix. Watch out, Caleb Williams. And that's legit. That's legit. But what I'm worried about is if they lose to Bo Nix in Oregon. And you know, as much, there are places in college football I think every college football fan should find their way to go to. I think you should go see a game at the Big House in Michigan. I think you should experience Baton Rouge in Baton Rouge, right? Right? Sing the song in Baton Rouge in Death Valley at night. I think there are places around this country you should see Oklahoma, Texas at the Cotton Bowl, but you should absolutely see a game at Autzen Stadium. That stadium is engineered to trap noise. It is not the big contact lens bowl that the Big House is in Ann Arbor, where the noise kind of goes straight to the heavens. It traps in. It is so loud at Autzen Stadium. They say it's the loudest place in the country. And they don't have the largest number of fans because of the way that stadium is designed. It's tough to play at Oregon. It is very, very difficult to play at Oregon. And if they don't win at Oregon, it should be, yeah, of course. They're not there yet, but they're still very good. But you watch, because Deion raises everything up that he does, that there's going to be people like, you know what, catch you when you fall. The same people that are pumping you up are the same people that will be like, glad to see you fall. And you watch how quickly some of those people that are like, Coach Prime, will be like, yeah, well, we didn't think it would really work. No shame in losing Oregon if that's exactly what happens. And no shame to losing Caleb Williams. Pretty much everyone's going to lose to Caleb Williams in the Pac-12. But we'll see this weekend. You watch. If you want to see it really turned up, watch them destroy Colorado State and see what happens.